Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20, if you would please. Jeremiah chapter 20. I was listening to, I think it was a show, a radio show. It was economics. They were talking about money and whatever. Kind of caught my attention. I was listening to it. And the two guys were going back and forth, and the one guy said they brought up a book. I don't even remember what book it was. And the other guy goes, "Oh, I just finished reading that book for the second time." And the other guy kind of was quiet for a minute and said, kind of teasing him, said, "What are you, just a slow learner? You had to read it twice?" And the other guy said, "Well, to tell you the truth, I was a different man each time I read it." And I thought, "Oh, that's pretty interesting." And I said, more than whatever that economics book was, that's how it should be with the Word of God. You know what? This book is precious, and you make a trip through it. And guess what God's Word does if you let it? It changes you. It makes you a different person. And guess what that new person needs? Another trip through the book. And then it changes you again. It does its work on you. It grows you. You understand deeper things. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the day of redemption. But even as you get a little older and these physical eyes get a little blurry, our spiritual eyes should be getting a little sharper as you're able to peer into eternity. Even Hebrews says one of the reasons we come to church, Hebrews chapter 10, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more provoking each other to love and to good works, more and more as ye see the day approaching. Our spiritual eyes should be gaining an acuteness, an ability to see those spiritual things, which is kind of encouraging for older folks, right? As you're like, "Oh man, it's dark outside. I hope I make it home. My eyes aren't what they used to be." But spiritually, our eyesight should be getting better and better. And you know, each trip through the Word should change us. And you say, "Why do you keep reading that book? Are you a slow learner?" Well, the truth is, each time I take a trip through, it changes me. And then you know what that new guy needs? Another trip through the book. And forever, O Lord, Psalm 119, right? 89, forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I think we'll be making trips through this book forever and ever. Never coming to the end, never plumbing the depths of how wonderful this book is and its author for all of eternity. I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah kind of, again, you would never expect to see these words in the Bible. Jeremiah got pretty discouraged, and he said some amazingly dark things, frightening things. But God brought him around to restore his relationship with his word. But Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, and I can't believe that you'd ever see these words in the Bible. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Look at those words. Let that sink in for a minute. Let that sink in. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. Look at that first line there of that verse. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. How do you ever get so low that you'd ever say that to God? But he said it. "Oh Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But," oh, there's some precious times that word "but" is found in the scripture. Romans 5:8 is a precious one, isn't it? "But God commendeth his love. While we were yet sinners, he loved us before we were lovely. He commended," here's another precious instance of "but" in the Bible, "but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. His word was in mine heart as a burning fire. So tonight I want to take just a few minutes and talk about holy heartburn.
Amen.
Holy heartburn. Oh, this is December. This is a special time of year. It's December. Oh, may it be that discouragement doesn't come into our lives to the point where we say, I'm done. I'm done. This mouth will speak no more of him. But may it be instead, oh, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. And I had no choice but to let that word erupt forth outside of my mouth in the light. Remember the Sermon on the Mount, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. May it be that you live in such a way that they say, you have a Father. Tell me about your, well, it's a special time of year for me to tell you about my Father because he sent his Son. Last month with Thanksgiving, boy, we talked about what a wonderful thing it is that he gives us so many things. We think in November of praising him for all he gives, but in December we praise him for all he is. We thank him. My Father, holy heartburn. Won't you pray with me as we look at these verses? Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. I pray, Lord, you'd be with these thoughts that I'll try to get across, Lord. And what a special time of year. Oh, how fun, Lord, to hear the choir practicing. Oh, it's a wonderful time to cry out and to sing praises. Oh, you're so beautiful, oh God. And the gospel, Lord, there's nothing like it. I pray that, Lord, as excited as many are about Christmas, there are some that don't know why this time of year is special. Oh, Lord, use this church, Madison Baptist Church, to be a light. And may it be that more people come to find out why this time of year is so precious. May some come to know you as their Lord and Savior. May it be, Lord, that we get cold. We get discouraged, Lord, and sometimes the discouragement comes in and we feel like we're mocked and we're derided. And the discouragement just, we hurt. And we say, that's enough, I'm done. But may it be, Lord, if we see that the great Jeremiah, if he got to the point where he said, I'm done, and you could help him, may that encourage us that we'll go through discouragement at times as well, but you can help us to get that holy heartburn once again. I pray that you be with us this evening. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Boy, there were times in the Bible where God's word just was going to erupt forth. Amos 3:8, the Bible says, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We see, first of all, there was the derision of Jeremiah, Boy, contemptuous ridicule, mockery, constant. What did he say in those verses? He says, I am in derision daily. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me, he said. The word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He was scorned for sharing what God had laid upon his heart. He was mocked for being a prophet of Jehovah and for preaching an unpopular message. You know, the truth is unpopular sometimes. What did Paul say? He said, the more I love, the less I be loved. Well, if you love someone, you tell them the truth. Sure, you tell them there's a tact that goes along with that, but the truth. People need to hear the truth. His was a message of judgment. God was going to judge Judah and Jerusalem. And people don't like to hear correction. I've got children. And sometimes my children get to that point where they're like, I don't like being corrected. And of course, they kind of come across the attitude of, well, if I could understand your correction, I think I would like it. And we're like, no, I think you have it backwards. If you learn to like the correction, I think you would understand it.
Yeah.
If you could say, Lord, thank you for a mom and dad that correct me. If you had a true spirit of thanksgiving, Lord, I don't exactly know where they're coming from, but oh God, they know more than me. I'm just going to trust them.
Yeah.
Thank you for someone that corrects me. You hear what I said earlier? Boy, if I understood the correction, I would like it. No. If you liked the correction, you would understand it. Lord, thank you for a pastor that tells me what I need to hear, not always what I want to hear. I don't understand where he's coming from sometime, but I'm going to trust the man you gave us. If you learn to like the correction, it would help to understand it. Boy, there were other prophets. They were preaching a more popular message in those days. Listen to this, Jeremiah 14, 15. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, but I sent them not. Yea, they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. God's not going to judge sin. Oh, that's a way more popular message. And by the way, you want a popular, there's plenty of people that will tickle your ears nowadays. You want to find a popular message or you want to find the truth? The popular message is not the truth. The one that the world is comfortable with is not the truth. It's not the truth. The truth is unpopular at first, where you say, you don't deserve heaven. You deserve hell forever and ever. But a loving God didn't want that to be your only option. He sent his son to die. That's not a popular... Oh, you think of Cain and Abel, right? Cain decided it's not... I don't want to see that blood all over the altar. I want fruits and vegetables. That's a prettier religion. I want a pretty religion. I want a cornucopia on top of my altar. Something that Hobby Lobby would be proud of. Away with the blood. Oh, but the blood, there's no salvation except for the blood. It's not popular. But it reminds us that innocent blood was spilt that day on Calvary. And as beautiful as Christmas is, he came to die. You know, God said there were prophets, and they said sword and famine shall not come. But this is how the rest of that verse goes. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. Those people out there with that popular message, God keeps track of the liars, and they will be judged. Boy, the examples of mockery, Jeremiah 17, 15. Behold, they say, where? Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. So he's prophet. That reminds us of the New Testament, doesn't it? Remember that? There in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 5, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where? Where? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Where? Oh, you talk about God punishing. Where? Where? Oh, we talk so high and mighty sometimes. When the Bible talks about those days of those years of tribulation, where? They're coming. They're coming. The Lord could come back tonight before I'm done preaching. Are you aware? It could be any moment. And there are people out there that will mock and make fun. But the truth is, he could come back before you get home tonight. By the way, the abuse went beyond verbal. In the end of the previous chapter, at the end of chapter 19, if you're there in Jeremiah 20, look at the end of Jeremiah 19, verses 14 and 15. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, whither the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. They had those stiff necks. And what does Proverbs say about the stiff necked? Suddenly to be destroyed, and that without remedy. So what happens? So you're at the end of chapter 19. So the beginning of Jeremiah 20, it says this. Now Pashur, the son of Immer the priest, who was also the chief governor, that means that he was the man charged with keeping order in the house of the Lord. He was the chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesy these things. Now then Pashur, verse 2, smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin. So to take his body and put his body in stocks in the high gate for everyone to laugh at him. You beginning to see what we're building to, what caused him to be so discouraged by the middle of Jeremiah 20? You speak in the name of the Lord and somebody comes up and clobbers you and puts you in stocks where everyone can laugh at you. Will that play with your mind? Played with Jeremiah's. Came to pass on the morrow, verse 3, so an entire night in the stocks. Came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. So derision, the derision of Jeremiah is the first thing. Derision quickly became discouragement, and discouragement can cloud our judgment. There's probably times where you're going through something hard and you go, Pastor, I need some help. And he'll say, listen, you're in a fog right now. You're not thinking clearly. Discouragement can cloud the mind. Listen, God is still good and never forget it. You're in a place right now where we start to doubt it, but never doubt that God is good. Never doubt that God is good. It will seem at times after you spend a night in the stocks with everybody laughing at you that maybe God isn't in charge anymore, but he's never off the throne. And boy, there might be a time where you're in a fog. You know, oh, Pastor, you're like, listen, you're not thinking clearly. There's a discouragement. Causes us to draw wrong conclusions at times. So, secondly, I see the diagnosis of Jeremiah. We read it together, didn't we? Oh, Lord, thou hast deceived me. And I was deceived. Ouch! How shockingly frank. Thou art stronger than I, and thou hast prevailed, right? Thou art stronger than I am. I mean, it'd be more than Tyler here, and he's going to fight a snail. And so Tyler sees this snail, and he's like, oh, come on, come on. Look at, as further apart as that is, it's how much bigger God is than us. Go you, God. Go you! You prevailed. You won. You're stronger than me. Oh, he's hurting. Okay, you've shown your strength to superior. Haven't you embarrassed me enough? How low had he gotten? How low would you have to be to accuse God of deceiving you? What was he referring to? Maybe that night in the stocks. But remember back in Jeremiah chapter 1, he'd had a conversation with God where it didn't seem like In Jeremiah's mind, he was going to go through stuff like this. Back in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 7, and then verses 17 and 19, I'll read that. So way back in Jeremiah 1, even Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm not cut out for this. And God said, no, you're the perfect person. And I wonder if he's thinking, I told you I wasn't the person for this. And what did you tell me? Can I remind you, God, what you told me? It seems like you've let down your end of things. Listen to this. And by the way, God never lets down his end of things. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 7. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. You can't call me as a spokesperson. I'm not good at it. Oh, can I decide what you're good at? I built you. Can I decide what you're good at? I'm your creator. I am a child, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 17, therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto all them that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. Verse 19, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. I'm sorry, Lord, it just kind of feels like they're prevailing against me. Didn't you tell me they weren't going to prevail against me? When you spend a night in the stocks and they're laughing at you after, you know, being clobbered or wherever he smote him. And with whatever he smote him, with his fist, with a rod, I don't know, but he's sore. He's in the stocks. Lord, it's seeming a little bit like they're prevailing against me. And I thought you said they wouldn't. They shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. I'm not feeling very delivered, Lord. Of course, we have spiritual myopathy, don't we? We're myopic. We have short-sighted vision, don't we? We don't see the end of the story like God does. Right. We're caught in our little moments, but God is bigger than our little moments. Amen. We can trust him. We don't know what all is going on in his mind, but discouragement had twisted his thinking. He was making decisions on what he felt to be true rather than what really was true. And we go through that. Sometimes you're like, I don't feel saved. Well, saved is not something you feel like. If you got saved, somebody put it this way. Sometimes when you're 9 years old and you have a birthday, you're 10. And you're like, I don't feel 10. I still feel like I'm 9. Well, if it's your birthday, you're 10 now. I don't feel, it doesn't matter how you feel. You're 10 now. And if you know what salvation is and you cried out to God in heaven and repented of your sin, you're saved. Life isn't about feelings. So what does the book say? And by the way, he does help us. He does help us with peace and joy, but it's based on what the Bible says. Based on what the Bible says. Jeremiah, the great prophet, got to the point where he was going by what he felt to be true rather than what really was true. And boy, in that situation, he started making the wrong conclusions. The cure? Faith in a God who is good. He's never deceived anyone. He's on the throne, and nothing will ever change that. But if the great Jeremiah can get this low, so can we. So derision caused discouragement and doubt and a distorted view of things, and it was in this time of faulty sight that he made a decision. While not thinking clearly, while not seeing clearly, he made a decision. What was his decision? Then said I will not make mention of him, nor speak in his name. I'm done. I'm done. I'll not be his spokesperson anymore. He can embarrass somebody else. I quit. I resign. Maybe if I stop serving, maybe the persecution will come to an end. By the way, that's not good advice, is it? When you disobey God, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You say, it sure seems easier not to do what God says. Oh, in the long run, it isn't. It isn't. But here's Jeremiah. I tried it your way and it didn't work. I tried it your way. Oh, remember, our sight is often distorted when we're in the stocks. Right? What do we say to each other? Keep your chin up. Keep your chin up. It's like, well, you know how impossible keeping your chin up is when they've taken your body and stuck a hand in here and a hand in here and your head like this and you're bound in place? I physically could not keep my chin up. Metaphorically and physically, there's no chin up for me. My gaze was locked in a downward position. But you know the truth is, they can take your head and lock it downward, but they can never put your faith in the stocks. Somebody else was placed in the stocks, weren't they? And somehow they figured out a way to sing in the night. Remember Acts 16? Paul and Silas, they were placed in the stocks, and they could have been discouraged and said, God, here we are in Philippi making a survey missions trip. We go in here and things start to go good, and then the devil shuts things. Oh, the devil hadn't shut anything. He tried, but there was a jailer on the other side that God wanted to win to himself. There was all those prisoners that said, we're not going anywhere. We're staying with these guys. We're staying with, they have something. They have something better than freedom. The freedom they sang about tonight. Amen. From the great emancipator. God, oh my, the decision of Jeremiah. Boy, Paul and Silas, Acts 16, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. So derision led to discouragement and a distorted viewpoint, which led to a devilish diagnosis that God had deceived him. Once he decided that God wasn't good, that freed him to depart from what God wanted in his life. But, the discovery of Jeremiah. But his word was in mine heart. Is I couldn't get away from the book. I couldn't get away from the book. I couldn't get away from the book. His word reminds us of there with the disciples on the road to Emmaus when Jesus walked with them and they didn't know who it was at first. And then he opened their eyes when they finally made it to the house. Jesus spoke all things about himself. And they said, did not our hearts burn as he spoke with us by the way? As he took us on one of the greatest Old Testament survey trips that ever there was. God's word set my heart on fire, like an active volcano ready to burst forth with lava, a Mount St. Helens in his spiritual chest. Unbelief and resistance to God's will were burnt up. Sadness was burnt up. Melancholy and misery turned into purpose and obedience again. And so then we see the duty of Jeremiah. He got back to doing what he was supposed to do. God, I told you that I am a child and I cannot speak. Stop telling me what makes sense. Why don't you be quiet, be still, Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. You stop telling me what makes sense. Zip it. Let me tell you what makes sense and then unzip it and share my message with a lost and dying world. I just had to get back to sharing God's word. There's nothing more precious and more powerful. I could not stop. But Jeremiah, the shame, the persecution, the mockery. Don't you want an escape from those things? No, you see, that's the fellowship of his sufferings. My Lord, you and I can say that, right? My Lord went through those things for me. He was made a reproach for me. And I am not greater than my Lord. Paul said this in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He say, but the shame, no, you don't take that shame from me. What does the Sermon on the Mount say? When you're persecuted, rejoice and be exceeding glad when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets. And then Paul adds, and there's a sweet fellowship in his sufferings. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Sometimes I know not what to do, whether to give up or pursue. When darkness and when dangers meet, thy word a lamp unto my feet. I look around, and none is near to whom I may confide my fear. Ah, then I see the mercy seat, thy word a lamp unto my feet. When flesh or world or devil would win my steps to tread the paths of sin, O God, to thee I make retreat, thy word a lamp unto my feet. When I am languid, weary, slow, and my first love has lost its glow, give grace, more grace, I thee entreat, thy word a lamp unto my feet. Alas, dear Lord, how may I tell how vainly conscience clangs her bell, warnings against sin's doom, sin's cheat, thy word a lamp unto my feet. Yet praise, O God, thou God of grace, that as I run the Christian race, thou wilt all enemies defeat, thy word a lamp unto my feet. So shall I follow on and on until the promised land be won, where dwelling in the light indeed, my earthly lamp no more I need. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Holy heartburn. Ah, we're in December. I love this time of year. And it's all because of Christ and what we see in this precious book. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads and stand together if you're able. I'm going to have the pianist come and we'll just, you can make take a little bit of time there at your seat and maybe talk to the Lord. Or you can make use of the old-fashioned altar up here. We got the steps up here. You can come and kneel here if you'd like. Let's just spend a little time with the Lord. Maybe look for that holy heartburn. Away with discouragement. Oh, may it be that his word is like a fire in our hearts that reignites purpose and obedience as she plays. Let's do some business with God.